Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. You can do better now. Good morning, everybody. I see you up there. I just want to say thank you guys for praying for Heidi. She got back late last night. She was in Georgia, Orange Beach. No, they weren't. Yeah, no, they went somewhere else. I forget where they were. But from Destiny in Florida, yeah. Got back late last night. I told her to stay home. Is that okay? Thank y'all for praying for her. They had a great women's conference. I think it was in Alabama somewhere. Somewhere in Alabama. I don't know where she was, but I missed her. I don't eat good while she's gone. But anyway, so if any of y'all would like to take me to lunch today, I am available. And then I also just want to give a big shout out. Pastor Nick did a fantastic job last week. Pastor Nick. Talking about forgiveness. And as we go into this, we're in the second week of the series, Relational Intelligence. I just want to say, if you did not get that message last week on forgiveness, go to oursaviorschurch.com, go to Opelousas Campus, get that podcast. Pastor Nick preached last week on forgiveness. Everybody say, quick to forgive, and then quick to receive it, right? You want that working both ways in your life. If you're going to have great relationships in your life, friendships, marriage, like if you married, she goes, just say, I'm sorry, baby. Don't be defensive. Why do we get defensive? Because we want to be right. How many of you know right ain't all it's cracked up to be? Right, or you be sleeping by yourself? How many of you rather be snuggled up to mama and wrong than right and on the couch? Just say, I'm sorry, baby. Just quick, forgive any relationship, because you're gonna have some tension. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today as we walk through. I'm going to help you today. And then I also want to just give Dr. Darius Daniels. Can we put Dr. D up on the board right back here? Dr. Daniels, get this book. It's called Relational Intelligence. That's the name of our series as well. But we got permission from Dr. D. And I text him this week because I'm reading his book. And I text him and said, I said, Dr. D, I am reading this great book. You need to get one. It's called Relational Intelligence. It's a game changer. And he texts me back and goes, I know the author. And I said, well, can you ask the author, can I preach chapter one to our people? And he said, absolutely, preach it all. And then I said, I am going to push your book. I'm going to make you a national bestseller. So go to Amazon. You can pick it up at Barnes & Noble. I'm telling you, this will change your life. It's a great book. Can you just give Dr. D a big hand? We appreciate him. And maybe when he comes back, I'll get him to preach this message like it should have been preached. I can't quite do it like he does, but anyway. And then here's what I know to be true, because it's true in my life, and I know it's true in yours. Your greatest joy, I see a brand new grandmother up there. Your great, she knows who I'm talking about. Your greatest joy is going to come through relationships. If you just look back over your life and just go, woo, highlight reel, baby. The most greatest times of your life came through a relationship. But I can also promise you the greatest pain that you've ever had in your life has come through a relationship. So I think we got to get this right. Can I get an amen? When you start talking about relational intelligence, and I want to talk to you about the friend zone. If I was talking about, I'm going to call it the friend zone, and just helping you with friendships, and I want to talk about this next week. Oh, by the way, Heidi and I are going to be together next week, and we're going to be talking about communication. You need it. No, we need it too. Well, we're going to be talking about communicating. We're going to be doing husband and wife, but it works in every relationship. So we're going to be talking about that next week, so you don't want to miss Heidi and I together. I'm not bragging on me. You don't want to miss Heidi's going to be here next week is what I'm trying to get at. I'm going to be here too. Okay, all right. How many know, let me just make a couple of statements, a couple of resonators. Relationships are like escalators. Some are going to lift you up, and some are going to bring you down. Every relationship is consequential. There are no such things as neutral relationships. They're either going to be adding to you, or they're going to be taking from you. They're going to be propelling you forward or pulling you backwards. There's no neutral when it comes to relationships. In fact, let me just read. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, where there's this warning. It says, do not be, y'all help me when it's, yeah, don't be misled. Or how about this? Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, that isn't how your mama used to quote this scripture. Your mama used to quote this same scripture, but she would say it like this. Hey, if you play with the pigs, you're going to get dirty. If you lay with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. Y'all knew that one. Your mama said that too. How about this? The wisest man who ever lived and wrote a lot about relationships would say this in Proverbs 13 and 20. He says, listen, if you'll just walk with the wise, you'll become wise. And for a companion of fools suffers harm. I love this because it gives us the same ability to be wise. All we have to do is select the right people to walk with. Look at your neighbor. Say he's talking to you. If you'll just choose the right partners, the right people in your life, if you'll just walk with wise people, guess what happens to you? You'll become wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. Now, I know, let's be honest, how many of you, looking back over your life, ran with some fools? Okay, don't be pointing at nobody across here, because I know, I've heard the stories out in the lobby. You'll go, yeah, we used to go to high school with him. We were partners. He's a fool. I said, yeah, he was just saying that about you earlier when I met him. Now, here's what I want you to grasp. If you don't get this big rock, so if this is true, if walk with wise, become wise, if those closest to us can determine our future, then really friendships can become destiny dependent, or could become purpose partners. If we move them in the right place, if they're in the right seat, let me just show you biblically how God intended friendships, because I know there's some out here and you're going to say things like, I don't need nobody, I don't need no friends. I hear you. You're an idiot. But anyway, the Lord will speak to you in a minute. All the way back to Genesis. Go all the way back to Genesis. You got Adam. God creates heaven and earth. 6 days. Good, 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 good. Creates Adam. Not good. Not that it created Adam. It's just he said it's not good for him to be by himself. Remember, Adam walks with the Lord. He gets the presence of God in the garden, and God still says, this is not good. And so he creates, takes one of the ribs out, creates Eve. Remember what Eve is called? Her job description? The helper. She's going to become his helper. So even God wasn't enough. I've heard people say things like this, Jesus is all you need. That's not true. Jesus isn't all you need, because if Jesus was all you need, then Adam walked with God. He wouldn't have needed a helper. Let me fast forward it to the New Testament. You've got Jesus walking on earth. He's with his disciples, and he says to his disciples, listen, I'm about to go away, and if I go away, don't fret. I'm going to send you somebody that's even better than me. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Greek word, paraclete, which means friend or one who walks alongside you. So you're going to need somebody else. I love that. I love those two illustration, because it talks about, I think, what friends really are. They're those who walk alongside of us. Can I get a good amen? Anybody got a good friend? So if this is true, here's what's going to get a little bit controversial. You got to stay with me. I want to help you today to identify making sure people are sitting in your life. If your life was a bus, making sure people have the right seat on the bus. Not everybody needs to have an all-access pass to your life. Okay, watch it. I'm going to help you. In fact, let me give you this. This is Dr. D. I asked if I could borrow it. Well, I'm stealing it, but I asked him if it was okay. Dr. D wrote in his book, Relational Intelligence, he goes, really, there's really four seats on the bus of your life. And this is where he lists them. He said, number one is you got to identify who your friends are. I'm going to help you in just a moment. You got to identify who your friends are. Number two, you need to identify who your associates are. By the way, friends and associates don't have equal access. Associates is who you work with. How many of you ever got that phone call, like on your phone, and there's not a name, it's just the number, and it says Opelousas. And you're like, who calling me from Opelousas? I know everybody in Opelousas. Yellow. And they go, oh, hey. And you're thinking, how in the world did they get my number? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I said the same thing when you called me. Anyway, no, I'm teasing. So you get that phone call and you go, whoa. And you go, who gave them my number? You already figured out that wasn't all access. That's not friend zone, that's associate zone. Are y'all with me? How many of you have ever been in walking down Super One and you see a girl from your past and go, hey, baby, how you doing? And she goes, blah, throws up everything on you that's happened, her relationships and her children and all that. How many of you ever went, whoa, time out, girl, I don't even know. You're in the wrong zone. You're in the wrong seat. Are y'all tracking with me? So you got friends, you got associates. Let me give you number three. Sometimes God will bring along assignments. That means God will connect you with someone, not for you to be best friends with them, but because he wants you to help them. He wants you to disciple them, which is a good Bible word. He wants you to be a blessing to them. You're going to help lift them up because they need some help. Are y'all with me? And then number four, he also lists, here's somebody else you need in your life. You need a mentor. You need somebody that you're seeking wisdom and counsel from. Everybody tracking so far? I want to just help you make sure you got the right people on the right seat on the bus of your life. Because they're going to determine, this is destiny determining. If wise, walk with wise, you become wise. If you're a companion of fools, you're going to suffer harm. Some of your destinies is not dependent on God. It's depending on who you're walking with. Okay? We have a lot of new believers here. Look at me. I was a new believer at one time. One of the very first things that God had to deal with me was some of the relationships that I had were still hindering my walk. I got born again. I got saved. I started going to church. But I had my partners. Right? How many of you got partners? Listen, they still invited me to go do some of the old things that I used to do that I didn't want to do anymore. And they go, come on, man. And then I go, no, why don't you come to, no, man, I ain't got time for that. And there became the tension at some point. You got to go, wait. If my future is determined on the people that are closest to me, I got to make sure I got the right people closest to me so I can go do what God's called me to do. Can I get an amen? All right, let me just give you an example. In fact, let me just show you this. This is what Jesus did with the disciples. He calls the 12 disciples. He begins to mentor them. Then he starts to give them three assignments. He's watching them. Then they become two. They become associates with him in the ministry. And then right before he's about to die, he says, I no longer call you servants. I now call you friends. And so I want to make sure, hopefully I can do a good enough job of at least laying down a straight stick for you to see what a friend, a godly friend, really looks like. That way, when one walks into your life, you'll be able to identify them. Y'all good? Okay, so let me give you five things. What really makes a friend a friend? I'll tell you a few stories. You'll laugh and be mad at me at the end. Okay, here we go. Number one, what does a real godly friend look like? Number one, thank you, Dr. D, they have unshakable character. Unshakable character. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, again, do not be misled or do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. What does that really mean? Let me kind of translate that for you. That means if you got somebody in the friend zone right now, if your friend will lie about someone else, one day they will lie about you. If they will gossip about somebody else, one day they will be gossiping about you. Y'all tracking with me now? If they are jealous and envious of others, one day they will be jealous and envious of you. If you won't put them in a car, if you're going cross country and you get them in the car and you're driving, if you won't let them drive while you sleep at night, they don't need to be up in the front seat of your bus. Because bad company corrupts good character. God will send you people in your life that will have unshakable. Doesn't mean everybody's perfect, because not everybody's perfect. But it does mean if they do make a mistake, they'll own it quickly, repent to you of it, and say, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And will own that. But unshakable character. Do you have a friend that's like that? Let me give you number two. I'm just laying down a straight stick. So you can measure the people in your life up to it. Number two, is there unconditional love? Not based on conditions, circumstances, or seasons. Proverbs 17 and 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother was born for the day or the time of adversity. That means they see the best of you and they love you. They've seen the worst of you and they love you. And it doesn't change how they feel about you. This is the friend that when you're walking through adversity and everybody else is running out, they're running in. Do you have a friend like that? When everybody seems to be forsaking or running out of your life, they're the ones that are running into your life. This is a friend. Listen, not everyone who attends your party will attend your pain. Hello. Let me say it again. Not everybody that attends your party will attend your pain. So go down the list. You're going to walk through some times in your life, some times of adversity. And you've invited them to your party and they can't come. Y'all want to come? We got a big old gumbo. Oh, they coming. I get your gumbo. But when you're sick, they're not there. Oh, we just been so busy. Listen, don't get mad. Listen, don't get upset about that. All they simply did was identify the place on the bus that they need. You go, they an associate, they ain't a friend. Because a friend would have, don't be mad. It's just you thought the relationship was further than what it was. Go ahead and put them on the right seat. They may become a friend one day. But you go, I'm not letting them on the inner circle because it's about them, right? And so, are y'all tracking with me? It's going to get better. All right, here we go. So number one, unshakable character. They're going to do their best. They're going to represent honest integrity, character. Number two, unconditional love. They're going to love you through good seasons. They're going to love you through bad seasons. They're going to be there. And then let me give you number three, unbridled honesty. They'll be honest with you. Do you really want people to be honest with you? You got to have some people in your life that can say whatever they need to say to you. Proverbs 27 and 6 says this, wounds from a friend can be what? Oh, listen, it doesn't mean truth doesn't always feel good. Usually it feels bad when someone speaks truth to you. But it says the wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy will multiply what? Kisses. Oh, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. We all tend to move towards pleasure rather than pain. So we all want to hear, get the kisses. But this is what Solomon is letting us know. Look, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Love the truth that you can get from a friend. Let me give you some examples. Years ago, back in the early days of the church, and we got going, and the church was growing really fast, and man, it was just, we were getting leaders in places and positions, and we had a leader in a position that the character wasn't matching what you were seeing. Does that make sense? So one thing, you see one thing, but the secret life was something else. Found that out. And I had a rough day. I mean, I was like, oh my God, I put this person in that role. I put them there. It's on me. And so if I put them there, I would go, man, but if I remove them, because they're very influential, if I remove them, then that could hurt the church, because then people could go, I don't want to uncover the guy, but I got to do. And I called a friend and just said, here's the situation, here's what's going on, and man, I'm just having a rough day, because if I do this, and then that's going to happen, because if I remove him, then there are going to be people that get upset by that, and then the church is going to leave. And he goes, sounds like you got a test. And I said, yeah, this is going to be a big test for him. And he goes, this ain't no test for him. This is a test for you. Are you going to do the right thing? Maybe. Y'all quit acting all holy like you do the right thing. Yeah, I know what I'd do. Oh, yeah, you. I did the right thing. I did the right thing. I passed the test. I needed a friend who could be honest with me. One Sunday, I'm preaching Beck Civic Center Days. I'm up there preaching. I got it going on. I'm doing good. You're laughing at all my jokes. And then I hit you with a little bit of truth, and you'd go, ooh, oh, preach it, Pastor. And I'd say, I'm trying. And then I just preach, and you go, oh, it's tight, but it's right. I was feeling so good about myself. I walked off the stage, walked out in the foyer shaking hands. Everybody go, oh, Pastor, you, I think that was one of your best sermons. Oh, dear. Well, you're welcome. Oh, Pastor, you, that ministered to me. Yes, praise God. Glory to God. And then I shook the next man's hand. Sam George pulled me aside and said, can I talk to you? Well, yes, talk to me. Pastor, amazing. He said, you said a joke up there that could be offensive, Pastor Yu. And I love you, but that didn't look good on you. And I don't want people, I know your heart. You didn't mean anything by it. But there's some people in here that don't know your heart yet. And that could be offensive. I don't think you ought to say that again. Thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth. I need people around me that can speak truth to me, that I won't become defensive. I'll receive it so I can grow. The scripture says, speak the truth in love to one another so that we may grow thereby. Somebody got to be speaking some truth. Do you have a friend like that? That'll just be honest with you and say, that doesn't look good on you, because they love you. You see it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, we like that other friend. Girl, you got it going on. Let me give you number four. Number one, unshakable character. Number two, unconditional love. Number three, unbridled honesty. They'll love you enough to tell you the truth. Number four, unmovable reliability. Proverbs 18 and 24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If I was defining reliability, I'd call it dependable. You got a friend like that? It's dependable. They're there. They're always going to be there. Trustworthy, which means you can tell them something and you know that it's not going to go any further than that. How about this? They're predictable, which is a great word. I love that word, predictable. I love it. How many of you got some friends? You're afraid. You show up, you don't know what kind of mood they're going to be in. So you got them, don't you, right? He's like, I don't know what we're going to get today. How many of you know when you find a friend that's steady, all the same today, yesterday, and forever? You go, that's predictable. And so I want to make sure that you have some predictable people in your life. When we were all growing up, you might remember this too. You remember your first car? I remember my first car, but my second car was my favorite car. It was a 1966 Chevrolet pickup truck. Had a big old hole in the floor. I was thinking about this. How many of y'all remember you driving down the road back in the old days? And young people aren't going to understand this, but today when you're driving, the high beams, the brights are on your little, right here. You do that. Back in the day, there was a big silver thing on the floor. You'd have to stomp it. And it made, how many of y'all remember, you old, right? I mean, you'd be driving down the road going, and my truck had a big hole in the floor, so sometimes I got my foot would get stuck in the hole. And then we got married. We never really had nice cars. We didn't have a lot of money. And we, you know, how you struggling? We struggled. And I can remember trips we wanted to take. We're like, let's go take a trip. And how to go? Well, our car is not reliable. How many of you have ever had to rent a car to go to Krotz Springs? You know what I'm saying? Pull on up into Enterprise, rent a car. We've all done. I've had to do that many times. If you go beyond Port Barry, you got to rent a car. If you don't have the right friends in your life, it's like having an unreliable car. You're never going to make it to your destination. God's not enough. Jesus is not enough. The Holy Spirit is not enough. That he's going to send people into your life that can be dependable, honest, trustworthy, speak truth to you. You're going to need it. You're going to need some helpers and helpmates along the way, and you're going to be the same for them because they're going to need it too. A circle of friends. Listen, warning, it does take time. Trust is earned. There might be somebody right now that should be an associate that one day may be your very best friend. But right now, because you want to earn their trust, they're an associate. Maybe right now they're an assignment. Maybe you're helping them, but they're not the trusted friend. Not everybody should have equal access to your life. Let me give you number five. Victor's going to help me. And then I'm going to say number five, just unceasing encouragement. I'm just laying down a straight stick. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, read that with me. One can help the other one up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. You have a friend like that? One that'll help you up? Encourage means to pour courage in. It's when you lost it, to pour some in. Discourage is when you don't have it, you've lost it. I've had some discouraging days over our last 10 years. I've had much greater days than worser days, I guess. Does that make sense? But there have been some seasons where it was really dark. And I remember one. Church was going fast, Civic Center days. We're growing, we're taking off. Ah, it's awesome. In a pastor's world, we do count you each Sunday. Like I can tell you how many was here last Sunday. I can tell you how many there's Sunday. It's not about the numbers, but it is about the numbers. We're usually looking for trend lines. Are we growing? Doesn't matter what the number is. We just want to be growing. Everything that's healthy grows. And so we were growing really fast, and we had about a 6-week period that went like this. And I'm going back, what did I do? Did I say something? I corrected. I'm not telling that joke anymore. Offerings were down as well. Takes dollars to do what we do. That was down. And so I was really discouraged about that, going, man, what's the deal? Something's not right. We're not clicking right. What's the deal? Something's wrong. So then you look inward. You start listening to the enemy, because the enemy can talk to you. Your time is done. You were just here to get it started. This is a slow death. Where does this come from? Then I got a letter come into the office to Pastor Eugene, and it was written anonymously, which is never good. I mean, they're not anonymous. The anonymous letters that sometimes a pastor might receive, it never goes like this. I just wanted to tell you how much we appreciate you. Thank you because you're helping me grow in the Lord, and I get to know Christ now much better than I've ever known before. Everything's working great in my life, and I just wanted to write this anonymous letter and tell you thank you. Guess what kind of letter it is? Oh, you thank you. Let me tell you something. And you are full of... And just go down the list. No, this is three pages. Three pages. And then you hear that, and you go, maybe it's true. Lord, search my heart. And the phone rings. I pick it up, and it's Pastor Jacob. I go, hello? He goes, what's wrong? Nothing. No, you don't sound right. What's wrong? How many of you thank God for a friend that can hear you say hello and they know something's wrong with you? You go, whoa, 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 whoa. That ain't the same face. That ain't the same sound. What's going on? And I said, Pastor Jacob, I mean, I know you've seen the attendance record last 6 weeks. It's going down. The offerings are going down. Got a couple things going on in the staff I got to deal with, and now I got this letter. What'd the letter say? It said I was arrogant, I was prideful, I'm braggadocious. What else? And I'm just going through the list. It just says all those. By the way, I know I can be prideful, right? I can be braggadocious. Quit acting like y'all can't be. I know there's a tendency in all of us to be those things. So, and that's possible. So I'm just going, and I'm reading the list. And he goes, stop, stop, stop. Let me tell you something. What? I don't care about the numbers. Let me tell you something. What God is doing in Opelousas is bigger than me, you, everybody. He's tearing down pride, prejudice, and poverty. He chose you and Heidi as a vessel of honor to go up into that. And let me tell you something. You ain't bragging, don't you? You're one of the most humble men I've ever met in my life. You're one of the most loyal men I've ever met. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. Lord, I pray right now for Pastor Yu. I rebuke that foul spirit off of him of discouragement. He is a man of God. He is a mighty warrior. God's hands on your life.
Anything else?
What was that? I was discouraged, and he poured in courage and went, oh. Okay. I just want you to do three things today. I want you to identify where people really are in your life. Some may be mentors. Some might be an assignment. Some might be an associate. And some might really be a God-given friend. And I want you to be able to at least identify what seat on the bus those people need to be in. Thank you. And then I want you to prioritize. Because everybody look right here. If God places a God friend in your life, you need to prioritize them. They need to have priority in your life because you need to invest in that relationship. You go, what does that mean? That means stay in touch. Text, call, get together. When you cook the gumbo, y'all come over. I'm gonna feed y'all. Listen, if you got good gumbo, I'm coming. No, I'm teasing. I just want you to prioritize it. I want you to invest in it. Look at me. Not everybody needs to sit in the friend zone. Not everybody does. And then thirdly, identify, prioritize, and I want you to invest in it. And I just want you to have a friend like that. Because sometimes the truth you need doesn't come from God and it doesn't come from His Word. Sometimes He delivers it on 2 feet, and it's called a friend. And sometimes that friend will show you the love of God, the encouragement of God. Sometimes they'll speak the truth to you so that you can grow thereby. You need that in your life. And when you find them, hang on to them with all you got. Invest in it because they're hard to find in the world that we live in. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, today we ask you, Holy Spirit, thank you for drawing a straight line so that we can see where people are in our life. Father, it's not that an associate one day might be a friend. Father, we just make sure that we're investing in the friends that we have that you've asked to be around us. We're destiny dependent. Purpose partners. And so, Father, I pray over those here. Everybody look right here real quick. I didn't just tell you this so you could identify them when they walk into your life. Look right here. I'm also telling you this because this is something that you should be doing. Not just what you're looking to receive, but also what you're looking to give in the relationships that you have. Do you receive that? Okay. Thank you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to give an opportunity today. Let me read this passage for you. There's a friend. The scripture says it sticks closer than a brother. He will never leave you or he'll never forsake you. And John 15 and 13 says, greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for a friend. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians, you're praying. Would you just pray for those on your row right now? If you're here today, maybe you're far from God. He loves you. The greatest friend that would lay down his life for you is Jesus. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He is the ultimate friend. And today I can introduce you to him, my very best friend. He's here to forgive you of every sin. He said, in fact, Jesus said, sin separates us from God, and there's only one way to get rid of it. That separation, that wall between us and God, and that's to repent. So today, maybe today you're ready to Jesus said, you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again. Have you been born again? Today you can receive him as Lord and Savior by being born again. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I'm ready. I want to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for you. And if you'd like to be born again, would you just slip your hand up high all over this building right now and say, today's my day. I'm ready. Hold it up high. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. Thank you. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, 17, and 18, 19, and 20, 21. Anybody else? 21, 22. I see your hand. Congregation, let's add our voice to theirs. Would you say this together? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt. And you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. And that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I repent from my sin. to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise for that?
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.